I don't see any questions on the chat box. In case you have any questions on today's session, you can raise your hand and then I'll be happy to answer your questions. It can be in the way of comments, it can be in the form of whatever you have picked up, what you didn't understand, what you understood, whether it is useful to you, not useful to you. You can explain whatever you want. Yeah, Martina, go ahead. Yeah, you can unmute yourself now, Martina. Yeah,
First
Namaste.
of all, thank you very much for the wonderful session of today. I do have a question. The thing which came out today in the class, the emphasis on titiksha. Whether you can give us some instruction how we can improve that. I mean, in the last years, I have already worked upon myself a lot, and so I do have to say that titiksha has improved a lot. But I mean, if you're speaking about heat and cold, okay. If you're speaking about nice or not nice people around, okay. Whether the body is feeling so good or not, okay. Whether you are in this country or in another country is also okay. But imagine if really something horrible would happen, anything. Then I doubt that my titiksha would be sufficient. And also, I connected that yesterday evening while I was starting meditation. I was consulting your booklet, Understanding Atma, and I was looking at all the verses you had put into that booklet of the Bhagavad Gita, the last portion of chapter 2, the Sthita Prajna portion, and then again in the 12th chapter, be devoted to me, this one who is always Samatvam, who is equal in pain and sorrow and everything, he is very dear to me. So everything runs to Samatvam, Titiksha, and etc. And there I would like to have some idea of you, what would be the best method, the most effective method, the quickest method, how to get there.
Good. It's a common question which is faced by almost everybody in the world. You see, this is what a person who comes to Bhagavad Gita realizes, that there are so many things which is not under my control. And the outside world is the one which is causing problems for me. External world, I interact means the body has to interact. So first of all, the answer to your question is, understand the law of karma. Why is this body today in this world? There is some purpose, there is some reason. What, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, this body was not there, it was not facing a problem. But why today this body is here in this current world with all the commotion in the world? The body is there. The only answer which Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita is, there is a law of karma which is bringing this body and the world in contact. I have no control as Atma, I have no control over this body and mind. So the solution to your question is, how to develop titiksha is to understand and own up Atmas as your identity more and more. The more you disidentify with Anatma and identify with Atma, you will be able to accept whatever comes in your life much better. It is not a, it is not a, it is not something which will happen overnight. That is why, you know, I sent you that Atma definitions of Atma of so many Upanishads. The only solution Lord Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita is know your real nature as Atma. Claim that nature every single day here. Every day, remember, I am the Atma. When you start the day, remember with the feeling, I am the Atma. Nothing in the world can really affect me, the Atma. And then you begin the day. You know, whatever has to be done, your duties, your, you know, whatever has to be done, you go ahead with your duty. In spite of all that, all the great sages, rishis, everybody had to undergo the karmas, the law of karma. If you see any Swami Vivekananda, you know, Ramakrishna, or any Chinmayananda, or any person, everybody had to undergo the problems of the body, the problems of the mind. They had to endure. There is no other trick. It's only that you have to say yes. To what extent I can endure, that is what you can develop. Your mind you can develop, you can keep on telling your mind, yes, the situations outside are anityaha, they will come and they will go. That is the law of nature. There is no way I can have 100% control over the external world. My children behaving to me. My husband behaving to me like this. My neighbor is behaving like this to me. I have no control. I can only develop titiksha. So acceptance of the law of karma, acceptance of the worst situations at the body level. That is why the three Ds, degeneration, then disease, and death. This is common to all of us. But it is happening, you are a sakshi to that. I am a witness to the body. If you are able to hold on to that thought, it will solve 80% of your problem. I am a witness to the conditions of the body. The body is undergoing some problems today. It had some problems today. My mind had problems. The situation outside gave me a lot of problems. I mean, each one's life is very different. You may have a different surrounding. Shama may have a different surrounding. Manikandan may have a different surrounding. Graham will have a different surrounding. The conditions outside may be different. But the ultimate, what Lord Krishna is teaching is, they will end up in either joy or sorrow. For joy or sorrow, develop titiksha. There is no other way. You see, in the third chapter, Lord Krishna says, in the 34th verse, Kamayesha Krodayesha Rajoguna Samudbhavaha. Two, three verses are there which teaches how I should face my life again. It's again three verses of practical use. How to bring down anger in life. Again, there he talks of titiksha. Again, he says, reduce your desires, you will control your anger. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are 10 or 12 verses which talk about samatva buddhi. Lord Krishna talks of samatva buddhi mainly because only with a samatva buddhi you will understand your nature correctly. That is what we are going to do next week. Lord Krishna is Arjuna is asking, okay, you have taught me titiksha, but then what is the use of this titiksha? Lord Krishna says the use of the titiksha is for you to get Atmajnana. If your mind is always agitated, you will never have Atmajnana. It's not possible. So in short, Martina, to answer your question, understand two things. Understand the law of karma. Understand that you have no control over the law of karma. Understand I have control on how I can face the law of karma with the knowledge of Atma. The more deeper the knowledge of Atma sinks into your mind, more and more this knowledge you can get, and the more I'm sure you're putting in a lot of effort, because you are one of the students I've seen so much of reading you do, so much of meditation, so much of effort you put. You're a very sincere seeker, and you really want to realize your intrinsic nature. So it's just a question of time. The more you practice, the more you will be able to have the satisfaction. Yes, you will definitely say after a few months, perhaps, I can effortlessly say I am the Atma. The conditions outside is mithya. Yes. While facing the world, I have to go through the experiences. But Bhagavad Gita, one lesson which I've learned is I am unconnected, I am asangaha. Hold on to that one lesson that will help you to go through this entire episode of life. Is it clear?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you, Martina. Yeah, Manikandan, go ahead.
Namaste, Sigurji. Thank you very
Yes.
much for the today's session. I would like to share my feedback or my understanding, because it was my long pending doubt about after the death. Even though I attended Katha Upanishad, after the death, how the Atma is sustained, or Atma exists, or even before the birth. So today's session is very clearly explained my doubt about extrapolation of our six stages of our life. So especially the three stages. So it's very clear explanation. It helped me to get convinced that we are, means if we identify ourselves with the Atma, definitely we exist. So thank you very much for this excellent teaching. So it cleared my doubt, long pending doubt about how Atma can exist. Because after the death, we don't have the body and mind, but how we can get convinced that I continue, means as eternal. So this is a very clear explanation, especially this extrapolation of our stages, that we convinced that okay, we continue to life to exist. So I have another understanding, whether it's correct or not. I want to ask the same way, can we extrapolate, because this explained about the body, the gross body. Can we extrapolate our mind also, because the mind is also ever changing. Today's mind is not available in tomorrow, but I witness this mind. Yesterday I was happy and today I may not be happy. So can we extrapolate the same way that I am different from the mind?
Yes, correct. So, Manikandan, to answer your first remark, what you have said, see, this Nirvikara Swarupa of Atma is not an easy topic. It's not an easy topic for a seeker to know that I am Nirvikaraha. So, when you say I am Atma, I am awareness, consciousness. It is changeless. Therefore, it is Nityaha. Therefore, I am Nityaha. I am eternal because I am changeless. And that changeless nature you appreciate when you appreciate the six conditions of the changing body, which is what you understood today. It is very good for all new people who are understanding the nature of Atma for the first time. This is extremely important lesson to reflect on the changing conditions of old age, youth, childhood, and see the common thread of Atma, awareness. I am awareness all the time. So that is your first part of your remark. Second part of it is about the mind. Mind, the best way to understand the mind is that mind is also vikara. It has also got changes. Mind changes much more faster than the body. Every moment to moment, my mind has got new thoughts, new thoughts, new thoughts, new thoughts. And then in all the thoughts, there is one common thing which is not changing. You have understood the body very well. Now you're going deeper. Body is at a gross level. Mind is subtler level. In the subtler level also, yes, I'm able to now see that witness consciousness. Not see by eyes, but know, understand in your intellect. It is an internal understanding in the intellect. I am that Swarupaha. So the moment you have understood, I am the changeless in the body, I'm changeless constituent in the mind. 80% of your spiritual journey is over. You have only a little bit now to only say that that Atma is me. That is the only thing which is required. So keep doing this Nididhyasanam. I am that changeless Atma, and continue this spiritual journey. You will find one day, yes, 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 Bhagavad Gita 12 to 25, chapter 2 is 100% right. So many Upanishads I have learned, but the way Bhagavad Gita brings out the features of Atma, I am able to understand easily and hold on to that. Of course, the 16th verse we are going to study, that is a very difficult verse, but it's something which, you see, many things in Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, you have to contemplate. Like this verse today, you have to contemplate means to go deeper and give your full acceptance to what is being taught. In your own mind, you should think about it. Reflect means just ask a question to yourself. I have learned about this Atma today. Is it really true for me? And then what are the questions your mind is posing? Go ahead and let the mind ask questions. If you're not able to answer the mind, write down the question and say, I had this question when I was meditating. How should I know this? You can ask in the class. Next week in the notice, in the chat box, you can put that question. Good. Thank you, Manikandan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Vijaya, go ahead.
Yes, Shri Krishna, Shekharji, very, very beautiful practical session today for us to be able to imbibe just not the teaching and also put through the Nididhyasana aspect today. My two takes from today's session is I loved Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, and also how the changing Ahankaras, my association with all these vikaras, I become. But unfortunately, the idea is not to become. Idea is to accept what I am. And that's the journey which I think is more important. The body vikaras, right, these asti, jayate, vaddate. So these are something which are which should be highly appreciated, because if I do not see the vikaras, then I will never appreciate the impermanence of this prakriti. And that is the stepping stone for me to evolve into accepting the fact that I am not the body mind, I am the Atman, which is nirvikara. So nirvikara, as you rightly said, is so very difficult, as I do appreciate the first question asked by, I think, Martina. What I feel I can, I am able to accept. All of us are karma yogis if we are not challenged by any circumstances or issues. The moment we are bombarded with the circumstances and issues, then our true nature comes out. So the body vikaras, you have no choice but to accept it with titiksha, because the sorrow is due to not able to accept these vikaras. So titiksha is one way. How do I accept these? I am not, there is a subtle way of we tolerate, but Lord says there is no question of tolerating. You have to accept it, because if you don't accept it, it's going to be a painful transition. But if you accept it, it's going to be a pleasant transition. But the mental vikaras, right? See, as Manikantan was asking, mental vikaras, they always equate the mind to be a monkey, which is bitten by a scorpion, which is drunken, intoxicated, and it is possessed. And such a monkey, you can only expect what is going to do the next moment. That is how our human minds are equated to. So, but this mental vikaras, we cannot take that, oh, no, this is the nature of the mind, so I'm helpless, as in the case of the body. You may like, you may not like. After 25 and 35, you will start the first wrinkle on the forehead, and we have no choice. We may want to beautify, but that is only to the extent of this coating, the foundation, and then the baby creams, and then those things stay on your face. And in the night, we have to remove all those rolls and those things in the night and we sleep. Next day morning, before I put those, my face recognition in my iPhone wouldn't accept who you are. Please put on those things for me to accept who you are. So, right? So body vikaras, I have no choice but to put in titiksha. But mental vikaras, I think we can handle. And that is what I think the entire Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. The only way, as you rightly said, I appreciated it very well today, is the FIR, which is going to definitely come next week, a frequency, intensity, and recovery. But the awareness is that I am having this thought, awareness that I am this person who's having different kinds of modalities of my mind. Why is it that I am happy? Why is it that I'm sad? Why is it that I'm fearing? Why is it that I'm insecure? This is because kamaeva kor krodhaye rajoguna samudbhavat. So that is because of one core root of problem being desire. Because of desire, I have expectation. Because I don't meet the expectation, I have frustration, and then to the anger, and then to the vinashati. So I think being alert, being agile to the changes in the mind will help me to be in the state of equanimity. As far as the body vikaras are concerned, that is when I think it asks me to put on more of the titiksha. The mental titiksha is where I am alert, I am aware, and I restrain to react and slowly try to respond. These are some takeaways which I thought I will add up to clarify my own understanding on today's session. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Vijay. Excellent summary of what we have learned today. And it also shows the depth of your understanding of so many topics of Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads. Very beautifully explained. Only one thing I want to add is that, you see, Shankaracharya, in the third chapter commentary of that 34th verse, he says that we can only improve our mind to some extent. Because it is born of Prakriti, I have not much control over improving my mind. See, the mind is got it. It see, I was the mind has been given to me. It is not. It is so. The only way I can only address the mind is not me or mine. It belongs to Prakriti. So what Shankaracharya clearly says is try your best to improve the mind, but don't have too much expectations or have a desire. I should have a perfect mind. You know, I should control my mind 100%, like Shama always is. Shama always feels that she should have a artificial intelligence mind in her body. It's not
possible. A chip in the mind.
Yeah. It's just not possible.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
It's impossible to get that type of mind. The mind will behave. The mind will run into the world. Mind will be having millions of thoughts. That is the nature. Accept it. So don't expect a 100% pure mind. What is pure in the world is only Atma. Mind is impure. Accept the impurity of the mind. Like you have said very clearly, be agile and be alert to see that there is a desire coming up.
Yeah.
And in the 34th, third chapter, it's a very beautiful chapter where Shankaracharya writes a brilliant commentary where he analyzes that the thoughts arrival is not under our control. What is under our control is how I react, how I respond to the thoughts. There is a split second interval between arising thoughts and my response to that thoughts. So in that intermediary microsecond, if you can catch up and use your adharmic mind, intellect, the knowledge of right and wrong in that intermediate level, then you will be able to control your responses. You see, normally what happens for 99.9% for all of us, we are all instinctively taking our actions. Instinctively. Because of our vasanas, thoughts erupt. Because of thought eruptions, we are forced to respond. Our responses can be intelligent responses if you have a security checkup between eruption of thought and action. That security checkup is what you can practice. You can try to slowly start seeing the gap between the eruption of thought and your response of action. If that microsecond, if you are able to control, Shankaracharya says, you have won the mind. And once you have won your mind, you are no longer instinctively taking actions, but you are a jnani. You are a Prakrita Purusha. From Prakrita Purusha, you become Samskrita Purusha. Prakrita means instinctive mind. Samskrita Purusha means you are a refined mind. So, to go understand, to change your what all I'm saying is, whatever Vijaya has said, be alert, agile, to see the mind's thoughts coming. I'm only adding up what Shankaracharya teaches in the third chapter of how you're not controlled by your raga and dvesha, you are controlled by dharma adharma.
Yes.
That is the lesson which we learn in the third chapter. But today, you know, you have brought up that topic. So I thought I'll just explain that. Like I said,
the way, Yeah, the way we just add one thing is whenever the thoughts come, because you told rightly that you cannot stop the thoughts in the mind because that's the nature of the mind. But the way we say is you spot the thought, then if it is not that great, you stop it and then you swap it with something good. So
Correct.
stop, spot, stop, and swap. So that gap is what one need to practice. So bigger the gap, better is your management of that thought and converting that into action. I think that was brilliant, Shekharji. Yes, yeah, I
Yes,
agree.
this comes in the third chapter that Shankaracharya's commentary, and it's amazing. It is. See, the verse there is the 34th verse. Indriyan in indriyarthe arthe
Yeah.
ragadvesho vivasthitau tayorna vashamagacche tau hasya paripanthinau. For
Yes.
this verse only, Shankaracharya writes a commentary which you can never learn. All the psychologists and psychiatrists, they will never learn this from their textbooks.
Yes.
Shankaracharya's commentary is a masterpiece of psychology in this particular verse, verse number 34, chapter 3. Okay, Soumya, you've been waiting for a long time. I don't know whether you're still there. Are you there? I think he has gone. Okay. Okay. I'll just run through the. Okay, Shama, go ahead. You wanted to say something?
No, I've obviously thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. And the very last one was, of course, Vijay's comments, which was thoroughly amusing to me because where even the one's phones also, like if it doesn't visually recognize, so how much can you alter, your so this is prakriti, that what is aging and what is vikara. It's all in the realm of the prakriti, which includes also our minds,
Yes.
And then when we come to the mind, what is fascinating is that the reason why I find it difficult, now I realize it. I find it difficult to completely be, what Vedanta is prescribing to be spot on there, have the Viveka Buddhi and all of that. It's because in the cognitive, normal cognitive vyavahara or samanya jnanam, it's rather possible, isn't it? Because you can see the whole topics and subjects and you can more or less live. I've been used to, since as a little child, my teacher giving me, full marks. And now in the Vedanta jnanam, I find it isn't like if it says, have titiksha. And you find how you struggle with it. So then I remembered, Shurasya Dhara. This is not a joke, this spiritual realm. And we almost want to translate our previous ordinary jnanam onto the spiritual field, which I feel is a different field altogether. So that's where the problem lies, I think, definitely for me, where you think, oh, you could be perfect, nearly perfect there. Why not here? I know what it is to be done. It's like switch on and there. Wait, it isn't. I've accepted it's a slow process, and the slowly all the the are vasanas have to clear, chitta shuddhi has to happen. So all of that. And the point of your, the Shekharji, you emphasize this 12 to 25 words is on the Atma Jnanam, or the Tattva Jnanam, as a very, very highly, highly important, because all the time, even for those of us we are in the spiritual seekers, there is that kind of a barrier which is there, that we are constantly have this picture of the existential world, which means the shariram and the mind of others plus mine. And constantly you are actually hammering with that. So the experiential thing. But then I remember the story of a
You know, it's quite interesting actually. In Ramana Maharshi's stories, there is some brief this thing where a very elderly man in his late 80s, he was sitting and listening to him, and then he says, "Look, I am this age, you know, where I am, and yet I find it very difficult to accept that mrityu will happen or whatever." And then he asks, "Who is that I?" And then he reminds me, isn't this the same I which has been all the while? And you're still using that word I. So only find out who is this I. So very beautiful way in the way it's describing, which is what we are saying here. One last this thing, Shekharji, which I just wondered whether you would agree that whilst we are doing this 12 to 25, you alluded to quite a few Kathopanishad verses. And it is all coming relevant as to the why and what of it from Kathopanishad. A, one of the ones is also because our senses are so externally, and you have actually mentioned that, externally focused, that all the jnanam still sees that. Well, in the Atmajnanam, it has to be, you know, pulled back and do the introspection, which you have mentioned, which you said introverted doesn't mean that you're not going to engage with others. It's not introverted that way, but it's more of a living a life, contemplative life or
Correct.
contemplative. And then the last bit, which you said something very funny, Shekharji, and it's been happening in my mind, especially when I interact with the artificial intelligence world. As if you said security check, yeah? So our thoughts are rising as part of our experiences, and we really are. So my metaphor these days is like, as if all my thoughts were the thoughts approaching an airport, you know? So they have to go to the check-in, they have to go to the security check and all of that. Only then they are allowed a further trip. So there are so many millions of thoughts which are coming to my mind, and I have to go through these gates before I can take my flight with one particular thought. It may be Bhagavad Gita shloka or whatever else I want to concentrate on. So that's just fun. That's just for fun for me. The air traffic
Yeah,
control,
that's right. Yeah.
you know, which tells me, no, this flight can be allowed, this cannot be allowed, the runway is not ready, the
Correct.
climate is bad. So it tells me. So that is the beautiful analogy with which I'm currently working on. Thank you, Shekhar. You allow me too much of talk. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you, Shama. This security check is a very important concept because Shankaracharya says in that analysis of 334, he says that it is possible. It is practical, it is possible, it requires practice. And he says, if you can practice that, it is extremely difficult. It is not easy because it's only a microsecond.
So we're going to come to this verse. When are we going
In
into
chapter, you know, I was saying chapter 334 of Bhagavad Gita, in
We
that
will
verse,
come.
this aspect of security check, you know,
Okay.
comes
Wonderful.
comes in where he says it is practically possible to do it, but it requires practice. You need to
Wonderful.
practice. You need to practice this internally whenever you are, and especially when you don't want to do something. At that time, if you can practice it, it'll be the cause of improvement of your mind. Suppose you don't want to go shopping all the time, and then whenever the thought of shopping arises, or you know, you just, at that time you apply this rule and say, yes, now I have to check whether this thought which is coming in, I should go after it or I should drop it.
Yeah.
What Shankaracharya says is, if you practice dropping the thought as something which has arisen, but you are not going to identify, you're not going to nourish those thoughts, you will be in control of your mind.
Exactly. Because the natural tendency is to get carried away and
Correct. That is the natural
amplify. The
tendency.
thought was only little, but by the time you finished, It's
Yeah,
become
it has become a
completely,
yes.
And in today's meditation, the most key word which I loved there was the asanga. Because when Martina was talking about titiksha, and then I was just thinking about it, that really leave alone other experiences. Right now, just watching the war in the living room, in on the television screen, it completely drives my mind nuts. Because it's like, I can accept all the Ayur, this thing, the vikaras, the shad vikaras, or the normal this thing, or a disease or whatever. But this needless killing, needless death, unjustified, so it almost like completely drives. So now there is you, and I lose all my titiksha. So in today's this thing, and the reason why, because I have got attached to that idea, isn't it? So there is an attachment to my own thoughts and my own idea that this is needless, this is completely this thing, and so the
Yeah.
mind react. So your asanga word relates to not only my experience, but all my thoughts, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
So
That's right.
yeah. So this
Good.
now today's meditation is absolutely very powerful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hari
Thank
Om.
you. I'll just run through the chat box. Okay. Number one, Malli has said, thank you. I do not have control over on others' actions in my. Okay, that's right. What you're saying is correct. You can't control other people's actions. You can only control your own responses to those actions. So that's a very important point, because if your spouse is angry, she is angry, or he is angry, then you have not you do, you can't you the only way you can say is, my response to their anger is, okay, I will keep quiet. Suppose you also blurt out, sometimes you do, well, then the situation goes out of control. So you have brought a very valid point, Bali. I agree with you, Shama. I have discussed with you. Then Kuruva is saying, how sannyasi or yogi who meditates alone in caves go through karma. Okay, I'll just answer to the best way I understand this question. Kurua, can you explain to me your question so that I can respond better?
Hello,
Yeah, go
am
ahead.
I audible?
Yeah.
In ancient Indian stories, like so many sages and saints, they usually meditate a lot, like in away from societies, and they try to live that life like that. Then how the karma that they did in past lives or any that did in their lives will be go it mean completed it mean go where go out of that karma cycle.
Okay, good question. See, what you should understand is, all jivas, whether you are in right in the bustle of the city, or whether you're sitting in a cave, or whether you are in a forest, all jivas are affected. They live their prarabdha karma. Wherever you are, the body is going through the prarabdha karma, which for this life it will go through. So you don't have to worry about the previous karmas, what will happen to it, how will they satisfy their karmas, and things like that. See, that person who is sitting in a cave, it gives him immense joy and happiness to meditate inside a cave, not even coming outside the cave. It is a very, very extreme type of meditation, radical. Now, for him, he finds it happy. He finds it helpful to meditate, and he is going through it because he finds happiness in that. So, in whatever way each person finds happiness, a person will live his life, whether in the cave or whether a person is full of life, trying to create an ashrama, trying to run an ashrama, trying to create more sannyasis, teach them. That is another way. Ramakrishna, you know, huge missions in the world today. It's a huge mission. Similarly, so many other. Again, the people who ran those, they had different types of karmas. So, whether you are, wherever you are, the law of karma applies to all the jivas. So that is the first thing you should understand, and you don't have to worry about how they will fulfill their karmas. They are already fulfilling their karmas. Am I clear, Kurwal?
Yes, yes.
Good. Thank you. Manika, okay. Asha, reading the biography of your... Yeah, you are absolutely right. Reading the biography of saints and other noble people helps you to develop titiksha. It's a very, very valid point. I agree with you, Asha. And it is one of the ways to develop titiksha. Like, I mean, so many saints are there in India. You go through their biographies, you will find that they have all endured some aspects, difficult situations in their life. You go through Ramayana. You know, you can see what a life of sacrifice Rama had to lead. Go through a life of Lord Krishna. Go through so many saints. Paramahamsa Yogananda, so many people, Jesus Christ, so many people. There are so many saints. So definitely reading those biographies, you feel, yes, I also will be able to go through the mind's turbulations, the external situations affecting me and so on. See, all boils down to the same thing, titiksha. I develop titiksha to whatever situations I'm facing in my life. That's all. Any other question? If there are no questions, I will stop. Siddharth, you have?
उन्होंने बोला ना कि एंशियंट टाइम में ऐसे संत होते थे जो मेडिटेशन वगैरह करते हैं. एक्चुअली आई एम कनेक्टेड विद टू थ्री आश्रम्स इन ऋषिकेश. सो जैसे सर्दियां स्टार्ट होती है उससे पहले हम उन हिमालय की केव्स में कुछ राशन रखने के लिए जाते हैं जो अभी भी है, मैंने अपनी आंखों से देखे हैं. ऐसे काफी सारे संत हैं जो वो केव में बैठ के मेडिटेशन करते हैं. सो एवरी ईयर जब भी विंटर से स्टार्ट होता है उससे पहले हम उनको राशन पानी देने के लिए उन आश्रम की तरफ से गए हैं. एंड क्या एक्सपीरियंस होता है मैं शेयर भी नहीं कर सकता. लाइक अभी भी ऐसे लोग हैं जो केव में बैठ के मेडिटेशन कर रहे हैं हिमालय पे. दैट्स इट सर.
हाँ ठीक है, वो बिल्कुल ठीक है. आप जो कह रहे हैं वो बिल्कुल ठीक है. ये केव में जो मेडिटेशन करते हैं इसका फल दूसरा और ज्यादा होता है. जो हम इधर करते हैं, जो मेडिटेशन हम इधर करते हैं, ये 10 मिनट का होता है, 15 मिनट का होता है. और जो मेडिटेशन वो करते हैं वो मेनली करते हैं समाधि, समाधि स्टेट ऑफ मेडिटेशन. समाधि स्टेट में जो जो सुख मिलता है वो अलग तरफ अलग तरीका का सुख है, एकदम बिल्कुल अलग है. सो उसका फल दूसरा है. अभी ये जो मोक्षा जो हम बोलते हैं उसके लिए ज्ञानम बहुत इंपॉर्टेंट है. आत्मज्ञानम जो है, जो हम भगवत गीता में पढ़ते हैं, वो दैट इज वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट.
यस
हाँ. थैंक यू सिद्धांत. थैंक यू सिद्धांत. एनीबडी एल्स? ओके, विल स्टॉप हियर. विल कंटिन्यू नेक्स्ट वीक. थैंक यू. नमस्ते.
नमस्ते.
नमस्ते
जी. थैंक यू सो मच.
थैंक यू.
नमस्ते शेखर जी. नमस्ते.
नमस्ते,
थैंक यू.
थैंक यू.